On today, Pastor Seright begins a new series on the Book of John. Let's listen to his sermon called Introduction to the Gospel of John. Welcome to Precepts, a podcast sermon ministry of New Life Community Church, located in Pontiac, Michigan. Our church's vision is proclaiming Christ and equipping saints in the bond of fellowship. During each podcast series, Pastor Elder Jerry Seright addresses biblical and doctrinal topics impacting Christians' daily living. Feel free to visit the media section of our website at www.nlccpontiac.org to download as well as take sermon notes during the podcast.
Let's bow our heads for a quick word of prayer. Holy Father, we thank you. We thank you for this day, Lord. What a blessed day, Father. What a high day when all the saints can come together and lift up your name. And Father, I ask that we continue that through lifting you up through your word, Father. Lord, I ask that your word will fall on ears that are quickened, to life, Father, through the power and the majesty of your word. Father, I ask that it be a word that ministers to the hearts and minds to encourage, Lord, to convict if needed. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. Amen. Right, just a few things. Can you all hear me? Okay, all right, just a few things. One is that I'm definitely geeked about this bowling thing that's going to happen. I'm going to go out and give me a new ball, and like I told y'all, y'all going to see my competitive side. Since I can't play ball no more, it's all about bowling. Then the other thing is that you all missed a good movie. Yeah. That was a good movie. It weren't many of us there, but man, it was a good movie. It was a real good movie. And, you know, I saw a couple of eyes get a little watery there and stuff. And, you know, I hung in there tough. I didn't cry. Okay, I was teared up a little bit. At the end, it was a good movie and powerful message too. Just shows you how someone writes a song, but they live the life of that song as well. Amen. So I'm asking you all to come out because I know it's going to be another one. I'm asking you all to come out. So with that, today we're going to go on a new adventure. This adventure is going to be through the Gospel of John. It's going to be through the Gospel of John. So I'm going to ask you all to read a portion or one verse from John, the 20th chapter and the 31st verse. And then I'm going to ask you to also read from 1 John, 5th chapter, 13th verse. So once again, that's John 20, 31, and 1 John 5, 13. Amen. And if you have John 20 and 31, I ask that you read that together. Buddy. Okay, now that was like, now I'm going to ask you to read it better. You ready? Together. All right, go.
But these have been written so that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you may have life in His name.
Amen. That's a powerful, powerful verse. Yeah. Amen. Powerful verse. Now, I'm going to give you little time, a couple of seconds to turn to 1 John, 5th chapter, verse 13. All All right. 1 John 5:13. I'm going to ask you all to read that together. Ready? Go. Amen. Amen. That's also a powerful verse. Amen. So this is going to be a real quick message because, you know, when I'm introducing a series, I just kind of introduce it, throw it out there real quick to tell you what we're going to do. And then in the following weeks, we hope to develop it more. So I'll ask you all a question and a few questions, matter of fact. Don't want you to answer them out loud, but just think about it. If somebody came up to you and said to you, "Who is Jesus?" What would you say? If somebody came up to you and said, "Who is the Messiah?" What would be your answer? If someone came up to you and said, "Who is the Christ?" What would be your answer? If someone came up to you and said, "Who is the Son of God?" What would be your answer? I hope that you would have an answer. I hope that it would not be one where it would be difficult for you to explain who you believe in and who you have faith in. And that's pretty much what John is going to teach us. It's going to show us along the way how to give an answer in regards to who is this Christ. Matter of fact, one author said that it is a study in Christology. It tells you who Jesus is and who you as a Christian believe in. Amen. I was thinking about this subject and I just said, wow, it's interesting how John develops this whole thing about Jesus, this whole topic of Jesus. You know, everybody likes a good story. Or is it that everybody likes a good plot? See, there's a difference between a story and a plot. A story is the bare bones of the thing. A happened, then B happened, then C happened, then D happened, then E happened. See, it's the bare bones of the thing. But a plot brings a story to life. A plot brings a story to life with details, with mood and cause and purpose. And that's what John did for us in this gospel. You've seen the same story several times, believe it or not. You see the same story several times. I'll give you an example. A bad guy does something that endangers innocent people. Then there's a good guy who doesn't want innocent people to be harmed. Then the bad guy and the good guy, they try to stop each other. Then the good guy wins. And then everybody's safe. The end. That's the same story. It's the same story. You've seen the same story several times. But what makes Die Hard 1 different from Die Hard 14 is the plot, right? You got a different bad guy. You got a different endangerment. You know, the bad guy in Die Hard 1 had a foreign accent, but Die Hard 13, he was American. You see what I'm saying? And it's all the villains change, the endangerment changes and everything else. But yet it's the same story. It's the same story, but with a different plot. This Gospel of John sets us up with a story. And you'll see the same story, and you'll see various plots. And then, to tell the truth, what you'll end up seeing is his story and his plot, his plan. Amen. Throughout this gospel, you know, it'll be a sad thing if you did not have an answer to those questions that I posed just a minute ago. Because so often, a lot of Christians go through this Christian life not able and not prepared to give an answer. That's because when they sit down with this thing we call the Bible and read it, it's kind of difficult, and they don't understand it, you know. And I have to use an example that I thought of yesterday, because I, once again, it's a Sugarloaf example, because I had to babysit her a little bit. And then I was just thinking when I was there, because now, you know, she's getting at that age where when she first came here, you would talk to her, and, you know, and she would, like, coo a little bit. And you're talking to her, making your own conversation. Yeah, I know. Yeah, girl. Oh, yeah. Uh-huh. Yeah. Yeah, and you did what and when? Oh, really? Oh, yeah. But then it moves to a point where now she is trying to do her own little sounds. And you all know this by being around babies, where they are talking gibberish, but they really think they are saying something. So they up there and handing you something. And you're like, uh-huh, yeah, uh-huh, that's right. That's how some of us, that's how the Bible is with some of us.
Oh, Lord.
Where sometimes, like in the first case, we put our own interpretation to it because we just don't get it. But then all of a sudden, some of us got to the level where we act like we get it. When it's saying, and we act like we get it, but we really don't get it. See, the aim of new life is to make sure that you get it. And that's why we want to go through this gospel now. And we want to make sure that we all are on the same page. And we get it, that we get it, we get it, we get it. Because, see, some of you all will be confronted in this day of time, in time, with a very powerful and appropriate question. And that question will be, so you claim to know who Christ is. Prove it. Prove it. Prove it. That's the question on the hearts and minds today. Prove it. Prove it. He's, you know, the Bible says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. That's a hard sell nowadays. That's a hard sell nowadays. Because right now, you know, what is believed is that you must deal with your own truth. You must speak your own truth. You must walk in your own truth. You must stand on your own truth. I am the way, the truth, and the life. I got my own truth. My own truth. You know, it was if you've been keeping up with the news, they're trying to place a man on the Supreme Court. And I was listening a little bit to what was going on in the hearing. And then there's an accuser, and then there's this man that's trying to get on the Supreme Court, and they And the accuser accuses him of something that happened before, years ago. But they ask this one lady, who do you believe? And she said, well, this is a case where they both may be true. And I said, huh? I said, this is a case where they both may be true because she has her truth. And he has his truth. And I'm up here thinking, what is true? Because something has got to be more solid than that. What is the truth? And that's what happens nowadays, where you got your truth, you got your truth, I got my truth, you got your truth. All of a sudden, we got 40, 50-something truths. How are we going to come together, and what is true? Well, we stand on this. Christ said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. But just by saying that will not penetrate a heart. You have to know what you're talking about. Amen? And John wants us to know what we're talking about because his purpose, the purpose of his gospel is summed up in John 20 and 31 when he says this, but these have been written so that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you may have life in his name. So not only did he write this gospel so that you may believe, he didn't stop there. He said, so that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you may have life in his name. If we take the time to understand this gospel, we will see that John wrote this gospel in a way that will help all believers explain, communicate what they believe in. Amen? And we're going to have to do that because what it says is when you read the background of John, it says, or some, I should say, scholars state that his target group were Jews, were Jewish people. Jewish people that were familiar with this thing called Messiah, this concept called Messiah and Christ. They were familiar with it. And that's pretty much our plot today, where we are going to face people, run into people that are kind of familiar with this thing called Christianity, this Christ. They're going to be a little familiar with it. But we run into people nowadays that honestly are going to be fed up with religion. Often I hear a lot of people speaking negatively about religion. So all of a sudden, the Christian community came up with a good twist on that and a good comeback. And they say, you know, you're tired of religion. Well, he is asking for a relationship. See what I'm saying? And they just put that on there. Well, he's not asking. Well, we're not talking religion. We're talking relationship, which is true, but it's kind of losing some of its zing. Mm. And the reason why it's losing some of its zing is because guess what the world is not really interested in nowadays?
Relationships.
They're not really interested in relationships. Have you seen these apps of Tinder?
Tinder.
See, y'all know what I'm talking about.
Swipe
and then there's Bumble and Rumble and all these other things. They're not really interested in relationship. I hear often, you know, I hear my younger coworkers talking about all of these like dating apps and everything else. And they, you know, they are looking for love in all the wrong places. Because that's not the mission of a lot of folks that are on these things. They're not interested in relationships. And matter of fact, it's not that, but it's like they're not really interested in commitment. Let me divert for a second because, you know, I saw this coming. I saw this coming. When my kids were in high school, I saw this coming. I did. Because all of a sudden, everybody, it was fashionable to go to the prom stag. And I was like, wait a minute, y'all going to the prom, you know, you're going to go to the prom by yourself? Yeah, it's just going to be, I don't need nobody, I'm going. And the fellas really loved that playing field. Because they could go to the prom, hey, what's up, hey, I might pick both of y'all. And they go in there with no commitment or anything else. And I'm like, man, that's wrong. But it was right for them. Hey. It was right for them because commitment wasn't the thing. So now all of a sudden they are tired of religion and they're not really looking for commitment. A committed relationship. This is the challenge. You got to know that you know that you know that you know, and you got to be able to explain what you believe in. That's our challenge today. I read a powerful quote from Carson. Carson stated this: the best evangelistic literature not only explains why one should become a Christian and how to become a Christian, but what it means to be a Christian. Y'all hear that? It's not why one should become a Christian. Not only that. Not only how to become a Christian, but what it means to be a Christian. Because, see, a life is going to have to follow that decision. A life change is going to have to follow that decision. There's a lot of people out there that believe that they are saved, and they're not. You can't tell them that they don't know Jesus. And they're living whatever way they want. But you can't convince them that they're not saved. You can't. You can't convince them that they need Jesus for real. For real, real. But you can't convince them of that because in their minds, they know that they are all right. They're going to heaven. They're cool. They're on that way. They're on their way. And you can't convince them otherwise. They know they got a relationship with him. He know my faults. He know my faults. And he know my needs. He knows how wrong I am, but he loves me. And I love him. He loves me and I love him. Pass the pipe. You see what I'm saying? And that's where we're at. And that's where we're at. So how are we going to deal with this? How are we going to deal with this? Because John wants you to move from John 20 and 31. He wants you to move to his next writing, which is 1 John 5 and 13. These things I have written to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, so that you may know that you have eternal life. See, this verse is talking about that assurance that you have. And you continue to grow in that assurance that you have in that relationship that you've already established with him. So he wants you to move from John 20, 31 to 1 John 5 and 13, where you are in a relationship with him, where he is your Savior, where he is your Lord. Where he is your Lord. So through this journey through John, what we're going to do is we're going to go through it, and you're going to hopefully understand just how John lays it out. So how John lays it out is he first starts in chapter 1 with a prologue. Okay? And this is like an introduction through chapter 1, where he goes through, some people, matter of fact, call it a poem. They say it's just a beautiful poem that he starts it off with. So we'll go in there because it brings you back to Genesis. It takes you back to Genesis 1:1, where it says, in the beginning, right? And it's going to talk about how Jesus is the Word of God. But then all of a sudden, John moves on and he tells, believe it or not, the same story. And that same story goes like this. Jesus does something. Jesus makes a claim. And then all of a sudden it stirs up people. And this claim is also backed up with a sign. And then people are all stirred up and bothered, and it kind of just creates some controversy. And then the end is that people must deal with what will they do with this Christ? Will they believe in him or will they not? And it's the stories. It's the same story, but it's going to be like different players and everything else. Just like a few months ago, I talked about the woman at the well. Same story. Jesus makes a claim about himself, right? And then all of a sudden, she has to face, at the end, what will she do with this Christ? Will she believe or will she not? And you're going to see that play all throughout John in these stories over and over again. To quote Carson again, he says, so the plot of John's gospel is very tight and is tied finally to the 1 hour. What it boils down to, honestly, this whole gospel boils down to 1 hour. In Jesus' hour down here, last hour, in fact, down here on earth. And that was on that cross and everything that led up to it. And he says, this the purpose of God in the crucial redemption event in all Christian witness, the death, the resurrection, and the exaltation of Jesus Christ. And the urgency of you and I to have faith in this. That's what we're faced with, is a decision that you're going to have to make on what will you do with this Christ. So to develop this more, what I decided to do is try to incorporate everything that New Life has to offer. So what I'm doing now is I will come before you all with sermons from John. Then I'm also hoping that you all will be diligent enough to study personally in your own personal Bible study, the book of John. Then I'm also call on you to check out Right Now Media. So we give you all access to Right Now Media. So I'm going to ask you to go to Right Now Media
click the search and say how to read John. Type how to read John in there. And what you'll see is a neat little video series that they have. They have this neat video series on how to read a book. We're going to follow the same path that this video follows. So how to read John. I want you to get that in your Right Now Media. Everybody has access to it. If you don't, you could talk to someone here and they'll let you know. I think all we have to do is just invite you on the link, and then all of a sudden you're linked up. You establish a password and give your email, and boom, you're there. It's a great resource. So I'm going to ask that you all use that resource too and start with how to read John. It's two parts, part one and part two, how to read John. And he lays it out, and we're going to follow that layout. Because honestly, when I saw that video, I said, man, I can't explain it any better. So I'm gonna use this brother. I'm going to use him. And we're going to explain this thing together with you all. And then the other thing I'm going to do is I'm going to also tie in Tuesday night service. So Tuesday night Bible service is going to be where we all come together with our study Bibles, and we've heard a sermon, we've studied it on our own, we've watched a video from Right Now Media, and then all of a sudden when we come together, we're going to come together, as the young folks say, to chop it up. We're going to chop it up. We're going to check it out. We're going to see what this book has to offer in the weeks to come. You know, I'm hoping to guide and lead some of those Tuesday night services, or Bible services myself, and just developing this book even more along the way so that we can have a real good understanding of John. Amen? Because the bottom line is that we want to make sure we know what we believe in. We want to make sure we know what we believe in. Amen? So we're going to incorporate all of those resources, and hopefully we will accomplish that goal to where everybody will have a good understanding of John. And then when somebody asks you, so you say you know who this Christ is, prove it. You'll be able to say, let me tell you about it in John. And you can go on. And in closing, you know, I read something that was stunning. It said this. It says that the most known Bible verse at one point was John 3:16. For God so loved the world. But then all of a sudden it changed. It changed to Matthew 7th chapter, where it says, judge not.
My Lord.
And that's where everybody is today. Only God can judge me. Mm-hmm. Only God can judge me. Right? So when you come up to them and say, you may not, only God can judge me. And you know what? There's going to come a day and time where he's going to do just that. And the question is, will you be ready? Will you be ready? Will you be ready? Will you be ready? And this is an invitation that I will read over and over, because it's just beautiful how this person laid it out. He says, Jesus will do what he has promised. He will bless you in the sense given to that word in the Beatitudes. He will make you salt to benefit others and light to this dark world.
He will enable you to understand and obey the Bible. He will teach you to pray. Then he will bear you through all the cares, dangers, and frustrations of this life to an eternity that is unbroken fellowship with him in heaven. This is what God offers today. This is what he offers today. And I say to you all from here where I stand, don't let this moment pass you by. Don't let this moment pass you by. Examine yourself. Okay, you want to use Matthew's 7th chapter on me. Okay, judge not. Okay, judge yourself at this time. Are you really committed to him? Is he truly your Savior and Lord? Because Lord means he has control over your life. You're not calling the shots. He's calling the shots. Is he Lord over your life? Examine yourself. Don't be deceived. Don't deceive yourself. Because if you ain't right, you ain't right. Let's call it what it is. If you're not right, you're not right. But here's the opportunity to get it right. To get it right. We have altar workers up here. And as they come, we just tell you that they have the opportunity. You have the opportunity to speak to one of them, to pray with one of them, to say, hey, you know, how can we start this commitment to Christ? We also have them available to you to talk to you if you need prayer. Maybe you know him, but you need prayer. That's an opportunity as well we have for you to come and for those who are maybe considering membership here, we're asking you as well, come and talk to them. And you know my motto, the more, the merrier. We'd love to have you. Amen. But here's my last word to you. Don't let this day pass without making sure that you know Christ for yourself as your Savior and your Lord. Amen. Brother.
We hope you were blessed by today's sermon and encourage you to continually read and apply God's holy word in your life. To learn more about New Life Community Church's vision, mission, resources, and upcoming events, please visit our website at www.nlccpontiac.org. Or you can also follow us on Twitter at NLCC Pontiac. May God richly bless and forever keep you.